Bible. So two different passages of Scripture, and we're going to stay in these passages for the most part. We may turn to another verse or two throughout the message, but I want you to find Deuteronomy chapter 6 in your Bible, and then I also want us to take the time to find Ephesians chapter number 5. So one in the Old Testament, and then also a passage of Scripture in the New Testament we'd like to look at as well. So if you would take your Bible out and find your places there, Deuteronomy chapter number 6, and then also Ephesians chapter number 5 in the New Testament of our Bible. And we'll get to those verses here in just a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Ephesians chapter number 5. And I wanted to preach a message this morning that is going to be geared towards our fathers, or we'll say it this way, our men and fathers as well. But I want to say the same statement I made at the message that I preached for Mother's Day. I don't want those that are not men and those that are not fathers to tune the message out. I want God to speak to our hearts together as Christians as well. And then perhaps there would be somebody here this morning that is not a Christian. You don't know Christ as your Savior. I hope that you'll very carefully listen to the message this morning as well. And if God speaks to your heart, that you'll be able to know for certain when you leave here today that you're on your way to heaven and have the assurance of eternal life that God wants to give those that are lost. And so if that applies to someone today, I trust that you'll listen to the message as well. And so for all of us today, to hear what God would have for us to hear today, and that He would speak to us. And so let's take just a moment. We don't do this before every message that we preach, but I want to take just a moment to bow our heads and our hearts and just ask the Lord in a special way to speak to us as we hear His word today. And as I'm leading this prayer, just quietly there in your seat, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if you would just pray to the Lord, just whisper a prayer to the Lord. Lord, would you speak to me today? Show me what I need to hear from your word. And as you speak to me, Lord, help me to be willing to do whatever it is that you'd ask for me to do. Letting God have his way today, saying yes to the Savior as he speaks to you. Father, I pray that you would bless the preaching time now. We're turning to that now. And Lord, I pray that as we've opened your word to an Old Testament passage we'll look at this morning and then a New Testament passage as well, I pray that you would speak to us today. I pray that you would show us what you want us to learn today and to lead us to make the decisions that you would have for us to make. I pray if there's somebody here today that has never trusted Christ as Savior, they may be saved today. I pray for a Christian that may need to just grow in the Lord today as a result of what they hear, that you would help them to make that decision for the Lord today. I pray as men and as fathers, as we look specifically at some things that the Word of God addresses about men and about fathers today, I pray that you'd help us to be encouraged by this on Father's Day today as well. So speak to us, and Lord, help us to do whatever it is that you would have for us to do today. And we'd leave differently, Lord, than we came in. We'd leave changed today for your honor and for your glory. Thank you for each one that's here today. Bless us now as we preach from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and again in Ephesians chapter number 5. I said this morning in Sunday school, and I told all of the men, all the fathers that were here, that we were going to address this in the morning service. But I wanted to say it again. Again, we mentioned it in Sunday school. God has entrusted men with a great responsibility, an enormous responsibility. And we are thankful that we can notice the responsibilities that we have been given from God when we open the Bible. And so that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to notice today some of the biblical responsibilities that God has given to a father. And so I guess by way of a title for this message today, again, it's going to apply to all of us. I think all of us can learn from it. But I wanted to title the message this morning, Some Characteristics of a Godly Father. Or we could say it this way, Characteristics of a Godly Man. But really it applies to Christians as well. And so I want all of us to be listening to the truths that we find in the Word of God today. But we want to look at what the Bible says about some characteristics of a godly father. Now here's what we understand about us as men and about us as fathers, really about all of us as Christians as well. We understand that even the best of earthly men may not perfectly fulfill every biblical responsibility that God gives us every day. But the reality we understand as men, because we have God's Word and because we have God's Holy Spirit living within us, by submitting to God and with His help and with His grace in our lives, We can strive as men, we can strive as fathers to do our best, can't we? And so that's what we want to look at today, some characteristics of a godly father and the responsibilities that God gives us as men. Now, let's understand from the very beginning, or I guess by way of an introduction this morning, that godly families are not going to happen by accident. We want to understand that godly families are not going to happen by accident. God has given men leadership roles, and godly families are going to be built upon godly men who are fulfilling the biblical responsibilities and the biblical duties that God gives to fathers. And even though God gave the family a man, and God gave the family, because he instituted the home first, didn't he? And we know that he gave the family a man, he gave the family a husband, he gave the family a father. It's sad that even though God gave a man and a husband and a father to a family, there are still homes, sadly, that are crumbling today. There are some men, sadly, who have abandoned ship. There are some men in families that are physically or emotionally absent. There are some families that would be represented by a man who just doesn't care. But that's why we today from the Bible want to see the responsibilities that God gives us as a man so that we can fulfill these responsibilities. If God has given you as a man a family, I want you today to see as a man that you ought to consider your family as one of the highest callings that you have in your life. The calling of a husband, the calling of a father. As men, we have to understand with God's help, we are building something in our homes. For dads that are raising children, you're not just building a family, you ultimately are building a future, aren't you? I think about men that are raising, myself, as I'm raising children, men that are raising children today. We're not just building a family, we're building a future. And ultimately, as we're training our children and we're working to build their foundation, one day, that foundation that we're building in our children will someday be foundations that they're going to build in the future. And generations to come will be building upon the foundation that they are learning from today. Would you acknowledge, by way of all of that that I've said by way of introduction, men, we need God's help, don't we? We don't have to be Superman to be a super dad, because we have God's help, don't we? And we know that we can rely upon God. We know that we can lean on Him. And God, as a man, has shown us what He wants for us to do. As a husband, He's given us guidance and direction as to what He wants us to do. As a father, He's given us guidance and instruction. So manhood came with a manual, didn't it? Fatherhood came with a manual. Some may say, well, how am I supposed to do the job that God has given me to do? He's given us a manual, hasn't He? And what is that manual? The B-I-B-L-E. We've got the Bible, don't we? And we get to hold it in our hands, and we can go to this book as the source for instruction and wisdom and guidance and direction when it comes to the biblical responsibilities that God gives us as men, as fathers. For some of you that raised your hand as grandfathers, and again, I heard a bunch of praise the Lords for the grandfathers. They were excited about being grandfathers. And so God's given us responsibilities, and I want us to look at those today, and I want us to start in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and eventually we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and then we're going to turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. So you need to keep both of those passages close by you. And I want us to see four things about fathers today. I want us to see four things about men today. And again, if you're not a man, you're not a father, try to see how God can apply this to your life as well. But here's the first thing I want us to see about men, the biblical responsibility that God has given to us. Number one, he is to be loving. He is to be loving. I want us to notice this biblical responsibility we see in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And we just mentioned a second ago that these passages of Scripture are going to deal not entirely with men, not entirely with fathers, but for us as Christians as well. And this passage here deals with the Christian. Notice what the Bible says about our love. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 5, it says, "And thou shalt..." By the way, if we would just read the first three words, we would already know that this is a commandment, isn't it? Thou shalt. This is something that God wants every one of us to do. And notice what he says in verse number 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Now, we want to make sure that we understand how God wants us to love as a man, as a father, as a Christian, and we want to make sure we understand the order and keep the order correct. So the supreme love in our lives ought to be a love for God. The Bible says we're to love Him, verse 5, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. The Bible in other passages that tells that we ought to love the Lord, it also uses the word strength. It's trying to summarize it this way. We ought to love God with all of our being. The love that we have for God is the supreme love in our lives. So men, fathers, Christians, do you love God? Do you love His Word? Do you love the things of God? Do you love the house of God? Do you love the people of God? Is there a supreme love for God in your life? But then let's turn to Ephesians chapter number 5, because God gives to husbands another duty, another responsibility, a commandment that He gives to us, something as husbands that we are supposed to, a duty that we have been given to God that we are supposed to complete and perform. Look at what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5. We'll start in verse number 25, and we're going to notice that not only are we to have a love for God, so a father, a man, is to be loving. We're to have a love for God, but we're also to have a love for our family. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 25, "Husbands, love your wives." Now, the Lord instituted the family, didn't He? He instituted the home. This is the way that God instituted it from the very beginning of Scripture. He's instituted the home in this way. In the book of Genesis, we see that a man and a lady come together in marriage. So a man and a woman, and they and marriage begin a home. And then God enables then for that mother and that father together as parents to give birth to children, if that's a desire that's upon their heart, and if God enables them to do that as a family, and then the children are a result of that marriage, that home that God has given. So a man and a lady, a husband and a wife. And so if God instituted the home, then He is the one that establishes the rules for that which He instituted, correct? And these are some rules that He has established. And He says this for us as husbands. He says, verse 25, "Husbands are to love your wives." That's a command that God gives to husbands. He's to love, the husband's to love his wife. Notice what kind of love this ought to be. Look at what the Bible says in verse 25. It's compared to something. It says, "Even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." So what kind of a love should this be? It should be a sacrificial love, because it's compared to the sacrificial love of Christ for His church. He gave His life for His church, a sacrificial love, and then a selfless love. As a matter of fact, the Bible describes in the verses to come, and we're going to read them, a little bit more of a description of what kind of a sacrificial and a selfless love this really should be with a husband towards his wife. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 26, "that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." And then notice what it says in verse 27. "That He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, just like he compares his love for the church, he comes back to the husband and he comes back to the wife, and he says in verse 28, so ought men to love their wives, and then notice, as their own bodies. That means we would define or describe this love as with a husband for his family as he would his own body. So we would describe it as a sacrificial love, but we would describe it as a selfless love. A love where you would describe it as a love that the man would have even as his own body. He's going to take care of his own body. The Bible even says that. Look at verse 28 at the end of the verse. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. The Bible talks to us in Scripture of how when a man and a woman come together in marriage, they're to cleave to one another. Gives us the idea of sticking together as glue, and they become one, don't they? So if a husband truly loves, if a husband has come together with his wife and they have become one, he'll love his wife as if he would love his own self. It's a selfless love. And then look at what verse number 29 says. It says this, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh. So if you're going to love your wife like you love yourself, it's going to be a selfless love, because no man, the Bible says, ever yet hated his own self. But notice what the Bible says men do. It says, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now, at the very beginning of the message, I told you, as I told men, and then husbands, and then fathers, we've got a great responsibility. And responsibility number one, men are to be loving. They're to love God. He's supposed to be a supreme love for God. And then we're to love our families, and it addresses it here in Ephesians chapter number 5, a love that we have for our wives. In Scripture, we see that a wife is to reverence. She's to respect her husband. That's a duty of a wife, a duty of a lady. But then the duty of a man is to love his wife. Fathers today, let's learn to role model love for our children in how we love their mothers. Let's be a role model of love before our children, because they see that we love their mother as you love their mom. It won't be hard for them to be able to see that you have a love for them as well. And then as you train those children by showing love to their mother, children are then going to learn to love their moms and dads, because they see a pattern of love in the home. The husband's loving his wife like he should, and as they see that pattern of love for the spouse, the husband with the wife, then as they follow that model, they'll be able to love their moms and dads like they should. And then the future will be better, because then a son will grow up and know how to love his wife like he ought to. And a daughter will grow up to know how to love her husband like she ought to. Husbands, we have a great responsibility, and that great responsibility, number one, is to be loving. But number two, I want us to notice this about husbands, about men, about fathers. Number two, a husband, a father, a man is to be, number two, leading. Number one, we're to be loving. And number two, we are to be leading. When God made the family, he started it by giving it a man, didn't he? And the man was given for the purpose of leading. The man was given for the purpose of directing and for the purpose of guiding. And can I say this? That was not by accident. It wasn't that God said, well, I've given the home a man first, and I did that by mistake. God did not do that by accident. It was God's perfect design, wasn't it? Because he knew that homes and families would need loving leadership. The Bible says, if you're still there in Ephesians chapter 5, if you would look up at verse number 23, I know we read down to verse number 29, if you would look up at verse number 23, the Bible says this about husbands and fathers in the home. Notice this. There's a chain of command that God has. We may say, well, I don't like that chain of command. But it's God's chain of command that he has given. It's his instructions. It's the responsibilities he's given to us. Notice what it says, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, I'm going to take just a moment to read a verse there. In verse number 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Bible says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. There's a chain of command there, isn't there? And God has given that chain of command. God, and then Christ, and then the man is to lead and guide his home, and he's to be the leader in his home, and lead his wife, and lead his family, and lead his children. Now Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24, a very familiar verse that we're familiar with. A lot of times maybe perhaps we'll even see this scripture in someone's house. Maybe they'd perhaps even have it on their wall. You've probably seen the verse before. Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 15. Joshua made the statement about his home. Remember what he said? He said, but as for me and my house. What did he say, Joshua? We will serve the Lord. Joshua knew that his responsibility was to be the leader in his home, and he made a very strong and he made a very clear commitment, didn't he? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And men, as God has given us the leadership of our homes, may it be that we say that statement before God. To have a clear and a strong commitment as husbands, as fathers, as leaders of our families. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So in our homes, what kind of leadership does God require from us? He requires spiritual leadership, doesn't he? And I want us to notice a few things about this spiritual leadership that God has given to us as men. And we're going to look back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we left off at verse number 5. And I want us to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I want us to pick up at verse number 6. Let's notice what the leaders of a home, let's notice what the leaders of a family are to do. The Bible gives us some instruction here in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. We're to be spiritual leaders. And notice what it says in verse number 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Notice what we're to do with these words that God has given to us. Now notice specifically men here. Look at this as men, as leaders, as fathers. It says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Here's what God is saying to us as men. We're not to neglect the calling and the responsibility that he has given to us to provide spiritual leadership in our home. And so I want to give you some ideas as men, as leaders of our homes. I want to give you some ideas of what this spiritual leadership in our homes ought to look like. Number one, every home, if we're to be the spiritual leaders God wants us to be, every home ought to have a family altar. Every home ought to have a family altar. You say, what do you mean by that? There ought to be a time as spiritual leaders in our home, as men, that we gather our families together and we have a daily time with God. Together as a family now, we ought to have a family altar. If we're to be the spiritual leader that God wants us to be, what ought to take place at that family altar? We ought to be reading the Word of God together as a family. We ought to be spending some time during that family altar time praying and talking to the Lord. As leaders of your home, men, if it's just you and your wife, then gather your wife up and say, hey, this is our family altar time. We're doing it together. As spiritual leaders of your home, if you have children in your home, gather your wife up and gather your children up and say, hey, this is the family altar time. We're going to spend some valuable time here opening the Word of God, spending some time reading the Word of God. Now, in our home, because we have younger children, that time is not a long period of time. It wouldn't be able to be a long period of time. Our children, obviously, at a young age, they've got a lot of energy and they're moving around a little bit. But it's a short period of time that we've got on a daily basis where we spend time as a family in the Word of God and spend time praying and talking to the Lord. Our children will express to us prayer requests that they have. We want them to do that. We want them to be thinking about things that they want to pray and talk to the Lord about. And we read from the Word of God, and we have an opportunity to have a family altar in our home. And so as leaders of our home, what are we doing when we're doing that, men? Well, we're imparting to our family spiritual wisdom and instruction from the Word of God. That's what we see here in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. We're to impart the Word of God to our children. We're to instruct them. We're to take this book, which is the source of wisdom, which is the source of truth, and we're to instruct our family with it. And so number one, how do we to be the spiritual leaders in our home is to have a time where there's a family altar. But then number two, to be the spiritual leader of our home, let's make sure we're attending church like we should be. When the doors of God's house are open as spiritual leaders, let's make sure our family is in church. Let's make sure as the spiritual leader, we gather our families together. And as men, we say, hey, we're going to church, and we're going to church together as a family. For the children, it doesn't become an option. We just say as spiritual leaders, we're gathering everybody up in our family, and we're going to make church a priority. And by the way, when we speak of church, men are to be leaders in our church as well. God's given us instruction in His Word in that way as well. But then another wonderful privilege that we have as spiritual leaders in our home is when we come together as a family in church, one of the greatest opportunities God gives us as families is not only to come to church together, but to serve God together as a family as well. One of the greatest privileges that we have as a family is to go out on a Saturday and knock on doors together as a family and invite people to church. To provide opportunity of ministry and places where you can serve the Lord together as a family. So men, let's be the spiritual leaders of our home so that we have a family altar and we're attending church like we should. And then, men, God has given us the leadership role of correction and discipline in our homes as well. The Bible says in Ephesians, we were in Ephesians chapter number 5. I'm going to read a verse in Ephesians chapter number 6 that helps us to understand another biblical responsibility that God has given to the father in a home. Notice what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 4, if you're taking the time to look there. It says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." Now notice what it says about fathers. "But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." That's the verse that you'll find on the front of your bulletin today, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. The challenge for us as men to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word nurture has the idea of discipline. Sometimes training a child requires chastening a child. So we train through chastening, or we train through discipline. The Bible talks about nurturing a child. But then it also says not only to bring them up in the nurture, but it says the admonition of the Lord as well. That word admonition has the idea of instruction. So as men in our homes, as fathers in our homes, we would raise our children in the nurture, or in a way of discipline. So we train through chastening. But we also raise them up in the admonition of the Lord, has the idea of instruction, so sometimes training is done by way of words as well. By the way, that goes back to the family altar, doesn't it? We're finding instruction from God's Word, and as men of their homes gather their families together and they say, hey, it's family altar time, I'm going to give you instruction from the Word of God today. Not something that dad's just telling you, not something that dad just thinks is a good piece of advice for you, but I'm getting it directly from God. It's instruction that He wants me to give to my family. So to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So what should fathers do if they're going to be the spiritual leaders God wants them to be? They're to take the lead when it comes to correction, when it comes to discipline in a home. Now the Bible certainly lets us know that the mother has a part in that. Working together as a mother and a father, working together as a husband and a wife, and when it comes to chastening, when it comes to discipline, when it comes to correction, to make sure that mom and dad, we're on the same page and we're consistent in what we do when it comes to discipline and correction of our children. And mothers have a part in that, but fathers, we've got to take the lead. were to have the spiritual leadership in our homes? What happens if we leave a child to their own and there is no chastening, there is no nourishing, there is no admonition, as the Bible says? The Bible tells us what happens when a child is left to its own. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15, it says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom." Now listen to this. "But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Let's not leave a child to themselves, but as fathers, let's take a leadership role and let's make sure that we understand that part of that leadership role is to correct, is to discipline. So spiritual leadership includes a family altar, church attendance, correction, discipline. By the way, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible talks to us about how that God corrects His children. Just like a father would correct their earthly children, our Heavenly Father corrects us. And the Bible tells us how He does it. There's a pattern in how He corrects us. He corrects us out of love. "Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." And so let's make sure as fathers we take the pattern the Lord has given to us. Just like God chastens us out of love, we should do the same with our children. We chasten them because we love them. "I'm doing this for you because I love you." Now the child might look back at you and say, "Well, it sure doesn't seem like it right now." But we're doing it because we love them. And so let's take the spiritual leadership role of correction and discipline. And then number four, and this may apply to somebody in here today that perhaps is not raising children, but maybe perhaps has an adult child. Maybe a grandparent that's trying to encourage an adult child and trying to encourage their grandchildren. Here's another spiritual leadership responsibility that the Bible gives us. As fathers, let's demonstrate forgiveness as well. Let's demonstrate forgiveness. We're not going to take the time to look there, but in Luke chapter number 15, we have the parable of the prodigal son. And when we read through the parable of the prodigal son, it's a wonderful picture of the heart of our Heavenly Father. We get to see instruction as an earthly father of what the heart of our Heavenly Father would look like. And the Bible tells us this prodigal goes away and he spends his father's money. But then the Bible tells us he comes to himself, doesn't he? And he's returning home. And he's returning home, and at the point he returns home, he's already squandered all of his father's money, hasn't he? He's spent it all, he's used all of his inheritance, and he's coming home just hoping perhaps that he could be a servant. You know, there could be somebody that's sitting in here today, and you would say, by way of describing it, maybe you'd say there's no other way to describe it but to say that perhaps you have an adult child that you would say is like that prodigal. And they've gone away, and I'm waiting for that child to return home. Not to return to the physical house so much, but just return home to the things of God. And you say, "I'm praying. I'm spending time," like God gives us the wonderful illustration of the Heavenly Father, just waiting for that child to come home. And when that child returns, when that son returns, after he squandered all of his money, what does the father do to him? Does he shun his son? No, he gives us a perfect illustration of the Heavenly Father, doesn't he? The Bible tells us he runs to him. The Bible tells us he embraces him. The Bible tells us that he forgives him. And he even restores him to a place in his family. May we as fathers, and perhaps even as mothers, may we as grandfathers and as grandmothers, may we as Christians model the same forgiveness that we see our Heavenly Father model for us. To have spiritual leadership where we'd say, "I'm going to practice forgiveness." But another way in which we can model spiritual leadership is to provide for our family as well. As men, as fathers of our home, God has given us the task of providing for our family. Now, who is our ultimate provider? It's God, isn't it? And God gives us illustrations all throughout His Word. As a matter of fact, we preached on it several Sunday mornings ago about God being our provider. And in the same way, God provides for us physically, and provides for us spiritually, and provides for us emotionally. May it be that men in our homes, we would strive to do the same for our families. We would work to provide the needs that our family has. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter 2 and verse number 15, that when Adam was created, immediately God gave him a job to do, didn't he? Immediately he gave him work. And what was the task that God gave to him in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 15? He was to dress and he was to keep the garden, wasn't he? God had given a work for Adam to do. Let's be the spiritual leader that God wants us to be in our homes, and let's make sure that we are providing for our families. So God, number one, is men. He wants us to be loving. He wants us to be leading. Spiritual leadership. To have a family altar time. To make sure that church attendance is important to us as spiritual leaders of our home. And we gather up our family and we say, when the doors of God's house are open, we'll be there. To be the spiritual leader that God wants us to be. And then to provide correction and discipline. To model and practice forgiveness. To be the provider that God wants us to be. But number three, let's notice this about men. Not only are we to be loving, not only are we to be leading, we're also to be learning. Godly men, godly fathers, godly husbands are to be loving, they're to be leading, but they're also to be learning. As we're imparting wisdom and instruction and guidance from God to our wives and to our children, and we're impressing those truths upon the minds of those who are in our family, let's not forget, men, that we are still learning from God as well. Don't get to a place where you say, well, I'm the spiritual leader of the home and I'm imparting this wisdom, and so I know all that God wants me to know, and now I just have to pass it on to somebody else. No, men, we're still learning, aren't we? So men, we're to be loving, we're to be leading, and we're to be learning as well. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 25, it says that we're to ask God to show us His way. How do we know the way that God would have for us to walk and the path that He would have for us to live? We get into His Word, don't we? It's the source that we go to. And so if we're pointing our family to Christ, we ought to be living the same way we're pointing them. We ought to be living the way that God would have for us to live, thinking the way He'd want us to think, acting like He would want us to act, to be what He wants us to be and to do what He wants us to do. There's a verse that I want us to look at real quick. I want us to look at Philippians chapter number 4, and I want us to notice some instruction that Paul gives quickly in Philippians chapter number 4. He says in verse number 9, what an encouragement for us as men to be the learner that we need to be. Paul says this, he said, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me," what does he tell the church of Philippi here to do? He says, "I want you to do them." So you're learning from me. I'm giving you instruction. You're receiving things from me. You've heard things from me. You've seen me do things. Those same things I want you to do. And he says, "And the God of peace shall be with you." While you're teaching as the spiritual leader of your home, men, and husbands and fathers, while we are teaching, may we always remember that there are things we still need to learn. Let us learn what God would have us to learn as we spend time imparting truths to our family. Let God impart truths to us as well. It's not just important for us to have a family altar time. It's important for us to have a personal time with God as well, men, to be the leader that God wants us to be. And then the last thought I want to give you as men, and we're going to close today. We ought to be loving. We ought to be leading. We ought to be learning. And here is an important one. We need to be listening. We need to be listening. Men, let's be loving the way that God would have us to love. Let's be leading the way that God would have us to lead. Let's always be learning. But let's be listening. You know, if there's one thing I know to be true about men, it's that when we're talking, we're certainly hoping that somebody is listening to us. You know, we might feel like we're imparting great instruction and we're giving great wisdom here. "I certainly hope you're listening," we might perhaps say every now and then to our wives. "I hope you're listening to what I'm saying." We want individuals to listen to us. It ought to be said that we are listening to God as well. Let us be listening to God. We're leading and we're loving and we're learning, but we're listening. And as you're learning from Him, listen for His leading in your life, so that you can lead your wife, you can lead your children, and you can lead your family the way that God would have you to lead them. Get your directions from Him, and then be willing to say yes when He gives you the direction that He would have you to go. Let's listen to what God would have for us to do. We have some great examples in the Bible. We have a man named Abraham in Genesis chapter number 12 that was told to get up from where he was and to leave his family and his kindred and his father's house and to go to a land that God was going to show him. The Bible tells us Abraham listened, didn't he? He got up and he went. He followed God's instructions. In the book of Genesis, just a few chapters before that, there's a story of a man who was told to build a gigantic ark. It had never rained a day, but he's supposed to trust God and he's supposed to build an ark. Aren't you thankful that Noah listened? Noah followed the instructions that God gave him. There's a man in Scripture that we read about. His name is Samuel. We've been talking about him in our Sunday school class. Samuel was called by God in 1 Samuel chapter number 3 to do the task that God had for him. And he said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." He's saying to God, "I'm listening. Speak to me, Lord. Show me what you'd have for me to do. I'm listening and I'm willing to say yes." Then there's another Bible character that we could talk about in the New Testament. His name was Jesus. And he was listening to his heavenly Father, wasn't he? When he left the glories of heaven and he was willing to die on a cross for us and shed his blood for us so that we could have hope of heaven. Just like these men in the Bible and other men that we could certainly use by way of illustration, we're listening to God's direction. May we always be listening to God as he speaks, as he gives us direction. How will we know, men, what God would have us to do when it comes to leading our families if we're not listening to his instruction? So can I say by way of application today for the men that are here, for fathers that are here, for Christians that are here today, some of us may need to say, I'm going to make a choice. I need to make a choice today when it comes to one of the areas that you've addressed today in the message, that God's Word has addressed. I need to make a choice. I need to make a choice as a man to be loving. I need to make a choice to be the spiritual leader and to be leading my home the way that God would have for me to lead. Some of you men may need to make the choice to say, starting today, I'm making the choice as a spiritual leader in my home to start practicing having a family altar. A choice that I'll make today, and I'll commit that choice to the Lord today. To make church attendance a priority so that you can be the spiritual leader that God wants you to be. To correct and to discipline your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. To be willing to practice forgiveness, to make the choice to say, I'm going to provide for my home and do the things that God would have for me to do. I'm going to make a choice to be a learner. I'm going to make a choice not to just impart or instruct somebody else with the things that God has given to me, but to make sure I'm constantly studying and I'm constantly learning myself as well, and to be a listener, to listen to the instructions that God gives. Men, are there some choices that you need to make today? Has God directed you in some way today? Has he spoken to you in your heart some way today? For husbands that are here, leaders of homes, fathers, for Christians that are here today, what choice would God have for you to make today? There may be somebody here today that's never trusted Jesus as their Savior, and that's the most important choice you could ever make. A choice to receive the gift of salvation that God has to offer you. You either make the choice to receive it or you make the choice to reject it. And if there's somebody here today that's never humbled their heart and come to know Jesus as their Savior, just like we talked about, his sacrificial love for us, that he left heaven and he came to die on a cross for us so that we could know for sure that we would have a place in eternity with him. You get to a place where you acknowledge your sin, you believe in what Jesus did for you, and you call on him, the Bible says, and ask him to save you. Tell him you're sorry for your sin and tell him that you realize that he's the only way to heaven. He's your hope for heaven today. And ask him to be your Savior, and he says he'll save you today. So if that's someone here today, I trust that you'll do what God would speak to you about today and you would make the decision and choice that God would have for you. Father, I pray in the quietness of this auditorium as we're bringing